A reading from Ephesians. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What a great day and a new era at Broadway. And I know that you all join with me as we welcome Bradley Reznicek into his new seat at the bench of the Clyburn organ. On Monday, the church's staff welcomed Bradley with little canisters of French Canadian syrup. The story goes that when the church installed the Clyburn organ, the French Canadian Cassavant Organ Company sent canisters of syrup, spelled S-I-R-U-P, hidden in the holes of the organ pipes. So, as I told Bradley, we were carrying on the tradition in anticipation of all of the sweet music he would soon be playing here at Broadway. If you're groaning in your spirit, you join my wife and middle school daughter. Bradley, we do welcome you, and we do look forward to the sweet music you will play here. When the organ was dedicated, these words were written. Music has been defined as an aperture, a window through which we can better see the glory of God. The Aurelia B. O'Brien Clyburn organ greatly enhances the clarity and quality of Broadway's spiritual vision. Sole Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory. But as great as the Clyburn organ is, Dr. Al Travis, who was organist here for 40 years, will tell you that it is not the greatest instrument in this sanctuary this morning. The greatest instrument here, Dr. Travis says, is the instrument of the human voice. And the primary role of the organ is to accompany the voice as we together follow St. Paul's earnest admonition and sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts and in this sanctuary, Sunday by Sunday. This is the ministry of music, the work not of one, but of many, not just a choir, but a congregation. And what we practice here on Sundays stays with us the rest of the week, and the rest of our lives also. In fact, we believe that what we practice here goes with us beyond our mortal lives and will be heard in the immortal halls of heaven. So then, let me focus on three things the ministry of music imparts to us as we practice for heaven's great concert. Music reminds us that our faith is not just a solo act. Solos are beautiful, and certainly they have their place, but our faith is a choral act. It's a song with many parts, and everyone is called to sing their own notes. I always love it on Messiah Sing Night when Dr. Cox asks the congregation gathered to identify their parts. He has us all to raise our hands, first the sopranos, and then the altos, then the tenors, and finally the basses. Now, he says, if you sing some other part than these, your job tonight is to sing softly. He has a good sense of humor. We all sing. We sing our parts. And though some may be called to sing more softly or more loudly than others, we all do sing. And we sing together. And the music that we make together, note by note and part by part, is good practice for the work that we do together, week by week and year by year. Monday through Saturday, we work together, and on Sundays, we sing together. And the angels, I believe, sing and work with us. So there is this participatory and communal aspect to the ministry of our music. And secondly, there is also a pastoral aspect. The songs that we sing in here have a way of seeping down deep into our bones and living and dwelling there until those days when we need them most to come out and to minister unto us. Frederick Douglass once said that the enslaved people did not sing because they were happy. They sang, he said, to make themselves happy. Make melody in your hearts, St. Paul said. And the songs that we sing while we are doing so have a way of doing just that. They have a way of making joy and peace and praise in the soul, even in the darkest of hours and places. And so we think of the psalmist in chains as he or she was being force marched to Babylon. The brown dust and black smoke from the holy city up in flames behind him, who knows what lying ahead? And the question, how can we sing the Lord's songs in a strange land? Yet the songs went with them up to and across the rivers of Babylon. And the songs go with us across the river also. Visit a memory care unit anywhere in this city. The residents there have lost all sense of time and place and date and even some sense of self. But the songs and the psalms and the spiritual songs and the hymns, they have a way of still making melody in the hearts of those who gather in old wheelchairs round upright and untuned pianos and between puffs of air from the tanks of oxygen. They sing the songs of Zion. In my first church, there was a man with an Alzheimer's-like dementia who was about to cross the river. He had not spoken in several weeks, and his children and his grandchildren, brothers and sisters, were all summoned to come and to be near. They gathered around the bedside when suddenly he opened his eyes clear as a bell and he began to sing to the family, "When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it shall be." Where does that come from? From the mind, from the spirit, from inside the bones, from heaven itself, from someplace eternal on this side and that of the Jordan. I know where it comes from. It comes from right here in church. It comes from choir practice. And oh, what a peace it gives. So the ministry of music is communal and it is also pastoral. And thirdly, it is prophetic. Tommy Shepherd, who grew up singing in the chapel choir here at Broadway, has just completed his doctoral degree in music ministry at SMU's Perkins School of Theology. In his dissertation, which was quoted in the meditation of preparation this morning, Tommy talks about what he calls prophetic musicking, by which he means music that is inclusive and participatory and serves to confront injustices within our world. When we think of prophetic musicking, we think of the power of music in the civil rights movements here in America. We think of the power of "We Shall Overcome" or "Lift Every Voice and Sing" or the songs of Bob Dylan and Bob Marley and Joan Baez. I think of the power of "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God" and how it was sung in the streets of the little French Protestant village, Les Chambons, as its pastor, André Trucmet, was being arrested for his resistance against the Nazis in World War II. Trucmet was placed into the back of the car as the people sang out on the streets, "The Prince of Darkness Grim, we tremble not for him." There is a reason why in his letter to the Ephesians, Paul talks about singing. Just before he talks about taking on the powers and the principalities of this world, it is because there is power in the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs. There is prophetic power in the ministry of music. And as Tommy notes in his dissertation, there is a Justice Choir songbook that we can take with us into the streets or in the jails. A songbook we can not only hold in our hands, but also in our hearts. And when we need it, when we need just the right tune and song, we pull that little songbook out and we sing it against the devil. And as Luther's hymn says, one little word shall fail him. On the last night of Jesus' life, just after the meal, he shared with his disciples, the scriptures say, in the singing of a hymn. They sang and then they went out into the brisk air of dark Gethsemane. They sang and then went out to face the darkness. Then the next day, even while he was hanging from a cross, Jesus again found it within himself, the courage and the strength to begin to sing. A song which begins with the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? But ends with these words. For he did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation, and all of the ends of the earth shall remember and turn unto the Lord. It is from God that come our psalms and our hymns and our spiritual songs. They are God's gifts to us, and we shall remember them. You shall remember them long after anything I say up here in a sermon. Half the time I forget what I've said anyhow myself. But we won't forget the hymns. We may forget everything else, but never, ever the ministry of music. The ministry of music remains with us forever. The psalms and hymns and spiritual songs remain and stay with us. They will go with us up to the great river and beyond. And in the face of every day, in every darkness in between. Soli Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory. And to us, the sweet, sweet joy and the courage and the peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all, and together all God's people then said, Amen.